Welcome to another episode of the Anime Syndicate. I am your host, Frank, and I'm joined by Josh.
Yo, yo, yo.
That was cringe.
Whatever.
Well, technically me saying that's cringe is cringe.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. So then we're both cringe. How about that? Or does the fact that you were cringe by saying that, does it negate my cringiness?
No, because I know I was being cringe. You were doing it to try to be cool.
Froyo. What do you mean trying to be cool? It is cool. Just like Froyo.
But what was it, that one guy? He's like, hey, man, stop that. Don't kink shame people. But kink shaming is my kink.
That's a good one.
All right. So this is episode.
I don't know what number episode it is, but
no,
this
no,
is
no, not the number. It was Bone Daddy 3.
Bone Daddy 3. Bone Daddy has a bone to pick.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should just shorten it to Daddy has a bone to pick. Bone Daddy 3. Daddy has a bone to pick.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, whatever. Well, yeah, whatever. If you're reading this, you know what it's called. Or is something it akin to that.
Bone Daddy doesn't spare the rod or spare the child.
Bone Daddy 3. Day of the child.
No, I'm talking about like.
Oh.
No, that was what's saying. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No rods being spared here. Bone Daddy 3. No expense spared. No, what was that thing that John Hammond says in Jurassic Park? He's like, no expense spared or whatever.
No
like,
expense spared, except for the one IT guy that runs all this shit.
Yeah, yeah. That we scrimped on that, and he was mad and then caused this whole shit to fucking collapse. You know, speaking of movies.
No.
What?
Go ahead.
If you want to listen to a pretty all right podcast about movies and TV shows, you should listen to our other podcasts. At GameRageMagazine.com or also on everywhere that podcasts are sold.
Well, maybe you should say what the podcast is.
Yeah, it's called Game Rage Movies and TV. I was getting to that.
Yeah, but you have to say the name of the podcast then to freaking plug it, not plug the website.
Well, yeah, I was getting there because I was going to go through the list and be like, you know, hey, if you like music, we have All Gas, No Trash. If you like random tomfoolery, we have the Buttfuck Nowhere Show. If you love geopolitics and all that. Global Events, Central Intelligence Podcast, Chirping from the Pine, the Game Rage Sports Podcast. Obviously, I said movies and TV. We are going to be restarting the Star Wars podcast, Game Rage Star Wars, finally. So if you want to get caught back up on the past four episodes, you should go listen to them first. And then in June, I believe, is when we're going to start doing that one again. So if you like Star Wars, we're going to be resetting that one. We got Game Rage Wrestling. We also have Panel to Panel, the comic book podcast, which we just started. We just did another episode of that. We're reviewing to go along with the movies and TV of the X-Men 97 or whatever. We're doing the, I don't know, some comic book Adam wanted to see is like House of X and Powers of X or something like that. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like where the X-Men finally get their due. So if you like that stuff, you can check all over there. Anyways, GameRageMagazine.com and at GameRageMagazine on all the social medias. Thank you. Agents.
Did she write that?
Yeah, she wrote that.
She can write her name now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hmm. And she can spell owl afterwards, too, and draw that owl. But instead of saying hoo-hoo or ho-ho, it says ho-ho-ho instead of hoo-hoo-hoo. But, you know, whatever. It's close enough.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, because of that child, every time we go to public, people think we're gay.
That's a fact. Everyone does think that we're gay. And it's not because, you know, we look gay or we act gay.
It's just that because that child likes me a lot. It looks like. We're a two-parent system.
Yeah, it looks like we're just being two gay dads, I guess. With, I mean, also, you know, you spoon-feeding me frozen yogurt doesn't help either, yeah, so that...
No, that was in the car, though. That wasn't in public.
What was the one in public?
It was the fact that I
kept... Oh, when I was, like, touching... When I moved you out of the way.
And I kept moving you out of the way with the shoulder and stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, that definitely...
In reality, I was being a dick pushing you out of the
right,
way.
Yeah.
But to anyone outside, it looked like I was caressingly moving you out of the
look,
way.
He's moving his husband around. Yeah, yeah, that's what... Goddamn, we do not help ourselves at all.
Anyway, so we're here to talk about Overlord. And also to make an announcement to Josh.
Okay.
I have decided on your next anime.
All right. After Overlord season 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you want to take a break from it and do this season next.
Well, no, I'm already balls deep into Overlord, so I'd rather just keep moving with it.
No, you're like the second you finish it, the next season's gonna come out.
Well, then I guess no, because we're gonna have to wait till the whole season's done.
Yeah.
So, anyways, what's the next one that you have on deck?
So originally, I was thinking between Spy Family and Furin.
Okay.
But I'm willing to wait on those ones because Fear Inn's only one season right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a 24-episode one.
Mm.
And Spy Family is in the same boat, but the second season just started.
Okay.
And I, the other one I wanted you to do was Slime, but you wanted to take a break from Isekai.
Yeah, let's slow our roll on the Isekai here because I already hate Isekai, as I'm sure all of our entire audience knows. But
didn't Overlord show you that there are good Isekai?
Okay, yeah, but I mean, listen, like I have some bones to pick with episode season 3, so.
All right. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I decided for the next one, I want you to do the first season of Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh, okay. I could do that. I've seen like the first couple episodes, so I'll rewatch them and then I'll do the whole first season because everybody keeps saying it's amazing. And
it kicks, the main kickoff is in season 2, but season 1 is great because this show has like 5 beatdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And the 4 of them are in the first season.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So I guess that will be your next one. But all since right. you already quote unquote balls deep into Bone Daddy, we'll finish that.
Yeah, let's. Because this week I will be finishing season 4. So our next episode will be Bone Daddy season 4. Well, Bone Daddy 4. What was the name?
Electric Boogaloo.
Oh yeah, Bone Daddy 4. Electric Boogaloo. So.
Oh, speaking of which, since nobody...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nobody got the answer to the fucking question that we
asked.
What was
the question again?
It was, what is the title we're referencing?
When we said
Bone Daddy 2, The Search for Bone Daddy 1.
Well, only one person guessed, though.
Well, only one person guessed, that's true.
And guessed Night Before Christmas.
Yeah, which was...
completely wrong.
Not even close, but I mean, I didn't want to publicly shame him. On the internet. So I just said, hey, good guess, but unfortunately that's not it. So
but for good for him though, because
good for him, since he was the only asshole that participated, this makes it real easy. We're gonna give him the month of Crunchyroll. So even though nobody got it right, we're still gonna give it to somebody. And like I said, since he was the only one, he just made it easy on us because we were probably gonna do a raffle at the end of it from everybody who guessed. If no one got it, we would have just put their names into a program and then it just would have randomly picked one of them. So but this guy was the only one that guessed, so therefore, he's the only one that gets it.
And what was the answer, Josh?
The answer was Spaceballs.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceballs was the answer. I know it's not anime related, but...
but it is a more deeper cut because the reference in the actual Spaceballs movie was Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Right, yeah.
But in an interview, Mel Brooks said that if he ever did got the chance to make the sequel, it was going to be called Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2.
Yeah, so that was the answer. Was we were referencing Spaceballs. So
not this episode, but maybe next episode we'll have another.
Oh yeah, we'll have another trivia. Yeah, we didn't come up with one for this episode. Yeah. So plus, you know what? Listen, shit's expensive. All right, so like, give us a break here. All right,
especially since the price just went up on Crunchyroll.
Oh yeah, what is it now? Like $10 a month?
12, I think.
12. Jesus Christ.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be $24.99 like Netflix.
That's true. Fuck, that's bad.
For 1 hour of streaming per day.
Yeah, that's bad. Anyways,
whatever, I don't pay for it.
Yeah, true. Well, I pay for it, but whatever. But anyway,
I pay for YouTube and
that's true.
Crunchyroll. Oh, I know we don't share Crunchyroll.
That's true. We don't.
For some reason, you pay for your own.
Yeah, I don't know why, but whatever. It makes it so that the queue is better.
Well, I mean, you had a Funimation account.
I did,
and you never canceled it. So it
no, it merged.
Yeah, I'm just saying you're probably paying for both.
Yeah, it was.
I was saying you're probably paying for a second Crunchyroll account.
No. They sent me an email. So when the whole merger thing happened or whatever, they basically said that if you had a Funimation account and because luckily for me, I used the same email. So they just said essentially that they were going to merge my watch history from my Funimation account as part of my Crunchyroll account. So now all the shit that I watched that got moved over is still on there. Like my playlist, everything merged over. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm definitely not paying twice for it. I mean, listen, I will say that I did prefer the Funimation app.
I don't know. The Crunchyroll app is way better. Not on Xbox. For some reason, the Xbox one is shit.
That's what I'm saying.
But everywhere else, it's great.
Yeah.
And Funimation, the reason why Funimation switched to Crunchyroll instead of using their own one is because the Crunchyroll UI was so much better than theirs. Theirs was notorious for having issues.
Yeah, I've had nothing but problems with it on the Xbox, but Funimation, it's been great. I loved that one. That was my favorite one. And if there was something that was on both, I was definitely watching it on Funimation and not Crunchyroll. But now it doesn't matter because it's all just Crunchyroll. So sad to see the Funimation app go. Funimation.
Well, it didn't
you should
go.
Be watching.
It didn't go in the ways of Rooster Teeth. It went into the fact that Crunchyroll is a better system. Let's use Crunchyroll and we'll just stick to dubbing.
Well, yeah, and they're just owned by the same people basically. So well, they Funimation just said, fuck it.
Funimation owns Crunchyroll.
That's what I'm saying. So like, so well, I think Sony actually bought the whole thing from everybody.
They bought them recently, but when that merger happened, it was Funimation who bought Crunchyroll.
Yeah, and then Sony said, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to buy you, Funimation, and then fuck it, we're just going to make everything all one. But it's funny how they didn't, I don't know, they just let Crunchyroll
They were supposed
do it.
To do it, but then, because Funimation was supposed to roll their library into Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to gouge us out for every nickel and dime for as long as they could. And I guess the merger didn't happen until Sony bought them.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. It didn't actually happen until, Sony bought them. Which, I mean, God, who would have ever thought? Good guy, Sony.
Not Helldivers, that's for goddamn sure.
Hey, you know what, though? They backed off.
Not from the kindness of their hearts.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Because Steam told them, hey, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, man. We're losing so many fucking people.
But that's funny because
they should make
what,
Sony.
From what I heard was that Sony, because Steam was refunding people who were
complaining,
and so they're saying, "Oh yeah, here, take your money back. Hey Sony, here's the money you owe us for." They refunded it, and we're still keeping our cut.
Oh yeah.
So Steam's like, we didn't lose money on this, just you.
Yeah, true.
And so Sony's like, "Fuck, all right, we take it back because we're peaches of shit."
True. And we'll only admit that because it costs us money.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the case for most companies?
Yeah, I would say so.
Except for Bud Light, because they still haven't learned their lesson.
True. But anyways.
Side point. Let's get back to Bone Daddy.
Back to Bone Daddy season 3. So this one was another 13 episode season.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off with episode number 1 in the season, which is number 27 overall. A Ruler's Melancholy, transliteration. Oh, no, wait, that's not the part of the title. It's just A Ruler's Melancholy. I was reading the Japanese part. This was basically the fucking hot spring episode, for lack of a better term. I was surprised that 26 episodes in, we didn't have a proper.
I mean, the closest thing we had to that was the Albedo body pillow scene.
Yeah, but that wasn't like a whole episode dedicated with it. This was basically, to me, just an entire throwaway episode.
Well, no, this episode was supposed to show that Lord Irons was trying to force his guys to, hey, take a fucking break.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
And we also learned that Alberto was a virgin.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, crucial information there.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Which I also thought it was funny that you can't ride a bicorn or whatever it was, a cursed unicorn, unless you are a deflowered virgin. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, because the opposite is that of a unicorn, and you can only ride a unicorn if you're a virgin.
Oh. Damn.
He talked about it in that same sentence.
I don't remember that. But
you chose to only focus on that.
That's true. Anyways, and then it does show Lord Aynes basically practicing his overlord, I don't know what you want to call it, act, I guess, in the mirror. Like, he's practicing, like, he's saying lines and shit. So it does show you more of, like, this guy is just some random dickhead that just happened to have this character that now he's this all-powerful character. And that all-powerfulness is a very prominent theme throughout this whole season. And, well, we'll get into it later at the end. Sorry, go ahead.
I got a lot of water right here.
You got a lot of water?
Yeah, so I'm going to put this on. I'm just worried that I'm going to spill on
it. Oh, all right. All right.
So this way, if it spills, it goes onto your worthless Apple laptop.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
I mean, worthless.
Or you could just put it on the floor. So then when it spills, it just spills on the floor. And who gives a shit because it's in the garage?
Well, but your Apple product would still be near water. That's more than enough.
Yeah, it's going to be ruined either way. Yeah. So even if you don't spill it, it's still going to be ruined.
I mean, yeah, there is moisture in the air.
That's true. It's pretty humid.
No, I was saying because I forgot what I was saying.
Anyway. I was saying about the all powerfulness.
Yeah.
And that was a theme throughout this whole season to me. This was truly him showing his power.
Was this the season where he brought the a nation under control?
well, no, he, you mean like the lizard folk was last season.
Okay.
This season was them.
They just took over that one city, right?
Yeah. And then they basically just revealed themselves to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying like, hey, we want, we're our own country of Nazarick, basically. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, basically this episode, as I said, was the episode one was like the fucking.
The beach episode.
Yeah. So.
But it was funny that the hot spring episode actually was more about the guys than it was the girls.
Yeah, it really was. That was all. That was also odd. It was all about them taking a break and them just chillaxing and doing their shit in a bathhouse or yeah. whatever. But anyway, so let me get into episode two, the Karn Village once more. And so basically he brings everybody together. Yeah.
You know, water dripping.
It's probably from outside. Here, hold on, pause it real quick.
Hear that?
The clicking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the, well, it's easily explained. The clicking is because of the squirrels that get in here.
Uh-huh.
I put one of those things that's like that, like it's that thing that we can't hear. Yeah. And so as long as it's clicking, that lets you know that it's on. Yeah. So it's making that little clicking noise. If it stops making the clicking noise and it's plugged in, that means it's broken. You need to get a new one, basically. Okay. So anyways. So yeah, this episode to essentially Lord Ainz brings together all the NPCs to talk about this whole grand plan of everything. And basically, he just wants to learn what Demiurge's thought process was, because he doesn't know. He's just pretending like, oh, yeah, like I'll just pretend I know what was going on the whole time.
Because Demiurge is the one that's running this shit.
Yeah, Demiurge is running the shit. And he's just like letting him do it and saying.
And Demiurge think that he's giving him
orders.
No, no, not orders. That he's giving him, like, he has such faith in him that he's allowing him to run. So and he's, what's that term?
It's like he's gaslighting him.
No, he's gaslighting himself. There's like a term for it when you're making conclusions that aren't there just to make to fulfill your own fantasy.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's also showing that how he's incompetent because he doesn't know how to do this shit. And he's like, okay, listen, this guy's pretty good at it. So I'm just going to pretend, because they think I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to pretend that I know what I'm doing. And so when I want to know why he's doing something, to say, ah, yes, Demiurge, tell me why you did this. And then when he tells him, he's like, that's precisely what I wanted you to say. And it's really, he's like in his head thinking, oh man, I didn't know that. I didn't even think about that. God damn. So, yeah, that was, the beginning of this episode, and now they're basically planning, like, Demiurge is like, we're also going to take over this world. And everybody's in for it. And old Ainz is just like, holy shit, I had no idea that they were doing this. Oh my God, they're going to take over this fucking world. So basically he said, well, Lord Ainz, I got this from what you did. And I think that now that you subjugated Karn Village with no casualties and, you know, everybody's peacefully, I thought that meant that you wanted to do this to the whole world. So basically he's just like, yeah, pretty much. So we get back into Karn Village and, you know, what's her name? Nifri?
Which one?
The girl. And the dude, the two at the Karn Village.
Nifirion?
Nifiria or something. Nifiria? I don't know. Basically, or Enri, that's the one. Enri is the girl.
Nifirion is the alchemist.
Yeah, Enri, but she's like the king of the village. Or
queen
of the village, yeah, or whatever. So it's shown that they're over there just basically trying to make potions, right? For Lord Ainz. And Enri's taking care of the goblins that they are.
That Lord Ainz gave them.
Yeah, and that they're basically just hanging out and they're just protecting the village and they're just like, it's a mutually beneficial thing. So she's even giving them names and, you know, all that good stuff. And so there's Britta, who was a new resident to the village. She quit being an adventurer
after the Shaltir
incident. Yeah, the Shaltir incident. So that's the new person that came on board. And basically they start running low on, you know, like supplies and stuff. Mainly, I think it was some kind of medicinal herbs. And so,
also when he finds out that, oh shit, at the rate we're going, I'm not going to be able to feed this new kingdom.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So he's trying to figure out kind of how to do this.
Set up trade and stuff.
Yeah. So Enri, Nifri, and some goblins go and they, you know, are looking for some herbs. And then they run into some, it's a little baby, a little hobgoblin kid. And he's being hunted by some monsters. And so the other goblins roll up and they fuck this thing up. And then she uses that purple potion they were making, and she heals the kid. His name's Agu. And he's saying about how, oh man, we got attacked by these minions from the Giant of the East, who is allied and buddies with the Demon Snake of the West. And now they're like, oh shit, like this is a new threat, because we as the Goblin tribe can't fuck with this. Like,
because those guys were part of the same thing with the with Hamsky, right?
Yeah, they were kind of like Hamsky was the
Guardian of the East.
Of the North, I think.
Yeah.
And then them two, one was the East and the other one was the West. And
now that he's gone, they're trying to take his territory.
Yeah, right? they're trying to take his shit over.
Yeah.
So then we get into episode 3, which is Enri's Upheaval and Hectic Days, which this is when they essentially go back to the village and...
Sorry, but...
Oh, God.
Do you know what a Cat O'Nine is?
A cattle nine?
A cat O'Nine whip.
No.
I mean, I figured you would have seen it because you're so into bondage.
Shut up. Oh, is that a cattail whip?
Yeah.
I've seen those. It's called a what?
Cat O'Nine tails.
I've never heard of that. I've seen that, though. Oh, this thing? Yeah. The extension cord?
I keep looking and I keep thinking it's that.
Yeah, my extension cords. It's one of those like three arcing extension cords where it ropes off into three different things. And so it kind of does look like that. And you know what? Now that you mention that, I think I'm going to whip you with that. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you with it.
You'll die trying.
Yeah, probably.
You know, what was the saying on Batman? When Red Hood was helping them out with the Court of Owls.
Uh-huh.
And Batgirl finds him and she's like yelling at him because, you know, he kills people and he goes against the values of Batman, as in the sense that, like, he kills people and he doesn't. For those of you who don't know, in the New 52, Red Hood and the Outlaws was his redemption story, him trying to
become
better. So as he's leaving and Batgirl's just talking all this shit, and Batgirl tells him, hey, he goes, I will get you and I will put you down. And as he's jumping over the edge, better bats than you have tried.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before this?
I don't know. It was episode 3 of the fucking...
I was just saying, like, you,
kill a
you,
cat of nine.
You, yeah, you trying to whip me. I was going to say,
oh,
better gay men than you have tried.
Anyways. All right. So basically, that's when they kind of figure out that the thing that was being built and guarded by the undead, the Monument of Ruin, was, oh, no, Hamsky was the South. He was the South Beast. Once he disappeared, the Giant of the East and the Giant of the Snake of the West basically said, oh, we're going to fucking defeat whoever this undead guy is, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever's in charge of these undead, we're going to fucking take them down. So Britta goes to tell the vigilante committee to ready up, because all this shit's going on. And they go ahead and they deliver the purple potion to Ainz and tell him about, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, because their potions were normally blue.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was that Lord Ainz's were red, which was unheard of for them.
Yeah.
And then when they did their studies, this is before Ainz took him under his wing, they found out that the red was like, what, 100 times more potent than their blue?
Yeah.
So I guess this purple was like the stage between blue to red.
Yeah.
So it was to show them, hey, we're making progress.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, they essentially decide, she decides, like, hey, we need to, like, do this first before we ask Lord Ainz for help, right? Let's see what we can do on our own with this issue with these dickheads. So during the night, they find the rest of Agu's tribe and some ogres. And one of the goblins tells Enri that he needs to act as an alpha, because that'll make the goblins basically like fall in line.
Yeah.
So they do that and it works. They swear fealty basically and all this stuff. And so then basically Nifria has to stay up all night. And Enri goes to Erantel to go. I don't remember. He goes to do something there. I don't know. Some kind of trade thing I think he was going to go do. I don't remember. But then basically, when he gets there to the main gate, her goblin general Horn is detected and is going to be put in custody. But Momon arrives and says, oh, no, she's cool. And they're all good. And then they get released. And so then, you know, Enri's going about her day. Momon, you know, is basically giving her the inside to be able to covertly ask the Adventurers Guild for help with these assholes in the forest.
Uh-huh.
So Henry meets up with the Goblin Troop and basically shows them some new weapons and gives them some new shit out of all that they've done for the village. They're like, hey, man, we got all this new shit for you guys. Like, I mean, I know it's not the best, but hey, you know, it's better than what you got. And the goblins are all like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. Like, thank you, guys. We love you. Oh, you're the best. Oh, man. Fuck yeah. People, they're awesome. Oh, we're goblins and we do want to do goblin things, but we're going to be cool with you people.
Goblins. I don't like them.
I don't like them. So then basically Henry gets voted as the new village chief when he comes back. But then he gets taken aback by this and he consults, what's her name? Lupus Regina.
I mean, she.
She, yeah. And Nifri, and has a talk. Henry decides to accept the position. So she is now like the fucking
head honcho
in charge of the village. And
she's a boss bitch.
Yeah, she is a boss bitch. And basically, Lupus Regina gets met by Yuri Alpha for a summons by Ainz. And basically, she tells him that the village dynamic has changed and she would love to see the faces of the residents if the whole village were to burn down, hoping to see the village destroyed. Like, what an asshole. And that's pretty much where the episode ends. Then we get into episode 4, which is the Giant of the East, Demon Snake of the West. And essentially, this is the Lord Ainz is basically reprimanding Lupus Regina. Man, I can't say her fucking name. I'm just going to call her fucking Lupus.
Right, for not stepping in when she should have.
Right, for his and doing all that thing. And she says, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But then he tells her of Nifri's value. And
basically, all he had to tell her was, he's valuable to me.
Yeah, to me.
So that means he's valuable to you.
Yeah, so then he tells her, like, you need to protect him, Henry, and Lizzie. The grandma, yeah. Or no, it was the little girl.
And the grandma, too.
And the grandma, yeah. Above everything else.
And he specifically said, in that order.
Yeah.
He's number one.
Yeah.
And because I need her to manipulate him, she's number two.
Yeah, she's number two.
And because I need her to manipulate her, she's number three.
Yeah.
I like the old lady. So she's number four.
Yeah, that's the only reason she's on the list, all right? Dead last, but she's still on the list.
No, she's not that far off from him, too, for skills.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so,
still.
Right, yeah. So then, basically,
she didn't realize the importance. Because she was treating this as a game because remember, everybody from Nazareth sees humans as worthless.
Right.
And this world has been proving them right.
Yeah.
So, what's the word? Lackadaisical?
Yeah.
She was just treating it like whatevs.
Oh, whatevs. Not a big deal. NBD, basically.
Yeah. And so, but don't get me wrong. The second she realized she fucked up.
Oh, yeah. She took it seriously again. And so now Ainz and Aura go to basically find this fucking problem that they've been told about, the Giant of the East and the Demon Snake of the West. And he wants to see what they are. So he sees that the giant is this fucking massive just troll. Mm-hmm. And the demon is some fucking asshole who's basically like a snake guy.
Medusa.
Yeah, Rarirus, I think his name. Rararius.
I thought it was a chick.
Nah, it's a dude. Ainz basically says, hey, man, if you guys bow to me, I can use your help.
Didn't he also find it funny that they were trying to replicate his buildings?
Yeah.
But it just looked like shit because they couldn't put two and two together.
Yeah, basically. So the snake guy says, yes, I'm down.
You see his magical power.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm good. It's all good. And what's his name? Goo, the troll, says, nah, fuck this. We're going to fight.
Dumber than dirt.
Dumber than dirt. So this guy's, the troll's attacks do basically nothing. And Ainz just fucking takes him out. And takes out all the fucking remaining trolls and ogres and just puts them out. So then that's when they kind of go with this this plan of, like, they're going to use them for, like, manual labor, kind of. So that's where they kind of get, they're going to just turn them back into, like, you know, not slaves, but, I mean, kind of a little bit. I don't know.
They're
less than employees, but they're higher than slaves.
They're higher than slaves, but they're less than indigenous servants.
Yeah, so they're, like, not much better off. But, you know, I mean, for them, it's pretty good, right? Because they're trolls and they're fucking idiots.
Well, the same thing you said about the lizard, man.
I guess that's true. This was a step up for them.
The only ones that are above them is the actual Carne Village.
Yeah, true.
Because he's letting them do what they want.
Yeah.
So Oh, except for, you know, yeah. Hey, make me my potions. And yeah, I don't give a fuck after that.
Yeah.
So are they indentured servants or are they higher than that?
No, I'd say they're probably around there. Yeah. Like it's somewhere around there. But anyway, so then Aynes has Demiurge review the menu for dinner, that the dinner that he's planning. And then he gets told that the village is under attack. And so he tells Lupus that she can go ahead and fucking take powers into Rose's hands.
But to, because again, this was another test to see how, if she learned her lesson. Because she wasn't to interfere in the protection of the village. She was just meant to protect those four.
Yeah.
And then again, in that specific order.
Right. And so when we get into episode 5, Two Leaders, which is, this was a cool episode because.
When you told me you had problems with the season, I was thinking, is this not the season with the village defense?
No, yeah, all that stuff was cool. The problems that I had, well, we'll get into it at the end. Mm-hmm. But the problems weren't with individual specific episodes. It was with an overarching kind of theme, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's only in relation to one character, and it's Bone Daddy. So it's not like this whole season, honestly, this whole season wasn't even really about him as much as it was more about the village and everything like that.
Again, I told you this before, but uh-huh. Literally everything in season 3 was to set up season 4.
Right. And so that's probably also why I didn't like it, because it was just set up. It was just all the setup, and I didn't get any of the payoff so at the end of the season.
So you're saying there's no such thing as good setup?
I'm not saying that. I'm just
saying that's 90% of wrestling.
Right. I'm also not saying that I had a problem with the fact that the season was a setup. I didn't have a problem with that at all, because I can see where it's going. Yeah, it sucks that if I was watching this
You don't like the fact that the whole season was a red herring?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, okay, I'll just get into it now.
It's definitely not a red herring, though.
No, I know. But the issue that I have, we'll say that for the end. So people listen to the end. Anyways, so episode 5, Two Leaders. This is when the trolls begin attacking, or the ogres, or whatever the fuck they are. This is when they begin attacking Karn Village. And so the goblins, their buddy ogres, and the vigilante committee, they get ready to defend the village. And all the other villagers go and take shelter into the main building that they have as like their fortified building. Mm-hmm. And so basically Nifri and what's her name? Enri. They basically are going to try to what?
Bone.
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. He's like, listen, we need to bone in order to distract the trolls. Let's go. Like, that's why it's called Bone Daddy. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so they need to like, she realizes that, oh, they have this odor.
If I could also mention something.
Yeah.
Do you know where I got the whole idea for Bone Daddy?
No.
I got it from the actual Bridge series of Overlord.
Oh, yeah.
Done by this group called the Numbskulls.
Uh-huh.
Which is now defunct because copyright issues. But the running joke in there is like, Albedo kept calling him Bone Daddy and stuff.
Oh.
There was even a short they made where he was practicing a clone spell.
Uh-huh.
And Albedo walks in and there's like 4 of him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, 4 Bone Daddies?
So they want to try to distract the troll. So they disguise their odor. And then, but the troll, because they're going to try to escape out and just distract this thing and keep it occupied. But the troll figures it out. And so Nifri tells Enri to go give help. And he basically says, oh, by the way, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, aw, he's going to die for her. So then he continues to fight the troll. Enri goes to get back up, but he is about to get his shit pushed in. And just before
that shit gets pushed in.
Yeah, Lupus shows up and fucks this troll up. And the battle at the gate basically ends. Everybody wins. Lupus tells Nifri and Enri, hey, Lord Aynes also would like to invite you to dinner at Nazarick. Now that we've won this battle, and you know, you can bring the child as well. You know, basically, because that was basically what this next episode is. When they do the dinner, Aynes is trying to figure out about like, oh, what do children like to eat? Like, so that was kind of funny.
I can't give him pocky.
Yeah, basically. So then. Essentially, we get into episode number 6, Invitation to Death. And this kind of goes back to the other side a little bit with the what's the name of the fucking, is it Riestes, right?
Yeah. Riestes Kingdom.
Yeah, so the Royal Mage Fluter Paradigm.
Is this the one with the Caesar Emperor looking motherfucker?
I think so. I get them confused because he is the young king and the other king is the old king, has the old guy with, king. With
Garzat, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the dude who's the warrior, yeah.
That's another kingdom. I think the Riesti kingdom is the one with the...
With the young guy?
The young guy who looks like an
yeah,
emperor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, he's got like the reel on his head, the wreath, yeah.
And then the old mage is his...
His like main, like yeah. his main confidant or his like head guy or whatever.
Yeah.
So he basically gets told that the Adamantite adventurers from darkness want to talk to him. So they have this worker group called Foresight. They're going to go take on a mission exploring this undiscovered tomb within the borders of the Riesti's kingdom, which is basically just a straight copy of Nazarick that they built to test the adventurers of this world or whatever, right? It's just like a test run. So basically they're like, yeah, we need to make some money. So like, yeah, this is a well-paying job, but it's fucking dangerous. Like, we're probably going to die.
Talking about the adventurers.
Yeah. And so
little side note, the leader of that group, and you watch the English stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is voiced by Michael Jones.
Uh-huh.
Or better known as Michael from Achievement Hunter of Rooster Teeth.
No, that's pretty interesting.
His girlfriend, the one with the pink hair, the archer, is played by Lindsay Jones, his actual wife.
That's pretty cool.
Who's also known as Lindsay she's not a member of Achievement Hunter. She's a part of it. Was
well, they all? No one's was. A part of it now. Like yeah. no one's a part of it now. If you want to hear our thoughts on Rooster Teeth's closure, you can go listen to the Buttfuck Nowhere Show episode titled "Thank You, Rooster Teeth."
We mentioned it before. All of this was inspired by, well, not 100%, but they were a big inspiration of ours.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, sidetrack.
Yeah.
Ow.
So, so that's cool. Cool little piece of trivia there. So basically they all kind of get in this deal and they're like, hey, we're going to go this way. We're going to go this way. And you guys go that way to check this out. And what?
He dead?
No, that's Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I can't remember which
one. He's alive. It's Bray Wyatt.
But didn't the other one die too? Braun Strowman? Not Braun Strowman, the redhead one.
No, it was the other guy. Luke Harper.
Harper. Yeah, he's the one that died too.
Yeah. Anyways, so basically.
Sorry, was it Buff Samwise Gamgee?
Yeah. So we get back into the next episode, Butterfly Entangled in a Spider's Web, episode 7. And this is the one where they get there and they're just checking all the outside of the thing and they see that there's this huge treasure and there's all these riches. So that's when they kind of decide, all right, some of us are going to go this way. Some of us are going to go that way. Some of us are going to check around the outside and try and see if we can find another way in, right? Or whatever's out there. So they make this deal and basically they just get their shit fucked up. Like,
especially the audacity of that one group. How about this? We'll stay outside, guard the entrance for you guys so that you guys get the advancement.
Yeah.
We'll only take a small percentage. You guys keep the majority of the treasure. We're cool with that. All right, cool. Dumbasses, we do nothing. We get some percentage. Are those maids?
Yeah, exactly. And then basically this is where we get to see Hamsky actually fucking fight.
Oh, that fucking douchebag.
Yeah, he fights that asshole, Tenmu or whatever. And
he doesn't deserve a name. Just call him asshole.
Yeah, that's true. Some asshole. So then Hamsky is like, oh, I am trained to become a warrior. I need to test my martial arts. And so he activates the martial arts skill and Bash he literally activates slashing strike and he just fucking beheads the dude and like explodes his head. It was pretty cool.
And then his fucking maze that he had been abusing.
Yeah.
He just started fucking stomping on his corpse.
Yeah, they just start stomping on him, which is pretty funny.
Well, I guess that was the thing we skipped over because earlier they were trying to show him because they're trying to see if Hamsky can learn martial arts from the lizard folks and one of his death knights.
Right, yeah.
We never got an answer about the Death Knights, but I guess Hamsky learned some martial arts skills.
Right. Hamsky's hilarious.
Yeah.
I need to find a stuffed Hamsky to give to Chloe.
I don't know. That scale tail probably be this.
Well, I mean, it's stuffed, so who cares?
I mean, good thing she didn't see that dead wall.
Oh, that's true. Anyway, so then we get into basically Foresight the group Foresight gets transported to the sixth floor arena, and they're told you're going to be facing Lord Irons himself. And so that brings us.
Dude, I love that scene.
When they get told that they're.
No, when they actually fight Irons.
Yeah, this is in the next episode, right?
Yeah, but I just saying, I love that fucking, that whole interaction just was gold.
Yeah. So this episode number 8, A Handful of Hope. Foresight's trying to fucking apologize for trespassing into Nazarene, and Lord Irons is just like, ah, fuck off.
It's like, you think I'm gonna let you live?
Yeah. He basically tells them they're worse than maggots for daring to enter Nazarene as thieves without permission. The leader of Foresight, Hecarim, tries to bluff his way and say, oh, we got permission from this large monster. But Irons fucking sees through the lie, and it pisses him off even more. And so, He overwhelms them basically with his attack, because he just uses a sword and a shield when he attacks them.
Yeah, and the girl's like, oh, it's okay. He's worthless when it comes to magic.
Yeah, and so then basically he says, all right, like, I've been playing around enough, and shows that he's a magic caster.
Makes her fucking vomit instantly.
Yeah, she basically just throws up.
Overwhelmed by his glory.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, I know I'm ugly, but goddamn, bitch.
Yeah, Jesus. And then so basically they're trying to fight back, but they just there's nothing they can do. So a couple of them.
They try to get that spellcaster to leave.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't mention her backstory.
Oh, yeah.
About the rich family, the noble.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, since you're.
Well, they're talking about how they disagreed with the emperor. And so they fell out of favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have no money, no nothing. But they're still trying to spend money like they're still nobles, hoping that the emperor will get assassinated or something, and then be brought back into the
fold. Yeah,
and that's why she's an adventurer, because she's trying to make money for them, and they just keep spending it on stupid shit. And so she said, like, yeah, after we get paid for this job, I'm taking my siblings. I'm just fucking bolting.
Yeah,
famous last words.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So. She runs away, and they beg Irons to say to give her mercy, right? And he says, okay. And then he goes and tells Shaltir, oh, show her the depths of despair and then kill her painlessly. That is my mercy to you. So then he beats the others, and he keeps this one guy, Robert Dick or something. I think that's what his name is.
Right?
Yeah. Keeps him for experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, her attempt to run away from Shaltir, the chick, failed, and she's like, oh shit, I'm underground, there's no way out. And Shaltir shows her true form and fucking murders her. And basically, that's when we get.
Then you get the flashback. Not flashback, but then you see her siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder when Big Sis is going to be home.
Yeah. And then, what's their names? Mara and Aura. Go to the Baharuthian Empire, and they confront the emperor.
Yeah, they're the ones with the emperor.
Yeah.
The Rhaeacy kingdom is the one with the king.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Well, so, obviously, it's a kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. So then they confront the emperor and say, hey, what the fuck? Why'd you send these workers into this tomb, and you need to atone for your crimes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's when they land with that giant dragon, right?
Right, yeah. And so then we get into episode 9, War of Words, and the emperor goes to Nazarene to apologize. And he's immediately given a show of Nazarene's power when they use tier 6 magic with no issues. Got death knights, big ass monsters capable of slaughtering armies. And they're using them for menial tasks like setting tables and shit. Right. And like doing the dishes and like sweeping. And they're basically just like butlers. And these are like the most powerful. Some of the most powerful beings. It's in
the most powerful creature you can create with the create warrior spell.
Yeah. So Irons basically is just showing off his power, right? Mm-hmm. And then he gets the emperor brings him a gift, which is of an atonement, which is the head of the guy who was responsible for sending these people to Nazarene.
And then he turns it into a death knight.
Right. And so, yeah, Irons takes it and turns it into a death knight. And the guy, they're just like, oh shit. Fucking shit. So Irons says that, hey, I'm going to crush anyone who's going to go against me because I wish to restore peace to my surroundings, right? So I'm just going to crush everyone because there's only one way to achieve peace, and that's if I am in charge of everyone.
I will show the world of my peaceful ways.
By force. Through force. Yeah. And so basically, the emperor extends an offer of friendship to help protect the Baharuthian Empire, and also suggesting that Nazarick establish a proper kingdom. Demiurge basically has figured out that the emperor is, this guy's going to betray him anyways, right? So he tells Aynes and everybody else, and they're like, oh, okay, cool. Well, don't worry. We'll show them what's up, essentially. And oh, they do show them what's up later on. So then we get into the emperor figures out that his main buddy has actually been working with Aynes the whole time and betrayed him.
Yeah, that was great.
Which was fucking great. And it shows the flashback where Aynes showed his true power to him, and then he pledged it, his undying loyalty to him. And he basically gave him the chance to peer into the abyss of magic, is what he gave him the opportunity to do. So that was pretty cool. That leads us into the next episode, episode number 10, Preparation for War. And this is where shit starts to get. These were the best episodes of this series. I felt like these last
battles.
I mean, this season.
I wouldn't disagree if you would have said season.
I mean, they were pretty close to it. They might be actually. So
this is where the Ries Kingdom starts to fuck up, right?
Yeah, this is where they start fucking up real bad. Oh shit!
See?
Yeah. Well. Anyways, so basically, Aynes comes out and establishes.
Can we take a quick bio break?
Oh, sure. All right. Hang on. Let me pause this. All right. So we're back. It's going. We're good. All right. So, yeah. The Lord Aynes is basically establishing this. He establishes to everyone this new sorceress kingdom of Nazarick. And he demands that the Riestes kingdom removes itself from all the lands around Irantel, claiming that they belong to the sorceress kingdom. And the Baharuthian Empire is backing up this claim, saying, yeah, this shit belongs to them. So Gazif, who is the head warrior, is basically telling the king, hey, man, I've seen this dude. You better do what this guy says, because going to war with him is a bad fucking time. It's not going to end well.
We didn't even go to war with him and we lost.
Right. So the king basically listens to his other dickhead guys saying, oh, this is going to be
nobles.
Yeah, the nobles saying, oh, this would be weakness if we just allowed it. And we can't afford to show weakness when Riestes has begun to grow in strength after the incident. So the Marquis Raven agrees to set up as commander for the war. So Crown Prince Barbro is wanting to prove himself.
Biggest idiot.
Yeah, so he wants to join in, but instead he gets sent to Karn Village instead. Mm-hmm. So he wants to question the villagers about Aynes. So Barbro decides he's going to draft the villagers when he gets there, and he's going to use them as hostages against Aynes, right? Mm-hmm. So then Aynes basically arrives at this Baharuthian army camp, and then this is before he summons his army of Death Knights, and that's kind of where the episode ends. And this is when we get into episode 11, another battle is what the name of it is, which is this is the battle of Karn Village, basically. And this was
the battle of Karn Village 3.0. Well,
the slaughter of the Riestes kingdom nobles, essentially, is what this should be called. Cause Barbro gets there and Enri, who's the new chief, is like, fuck, we need to delay these guys. We got to hide the goblins and the ogres. Cause man, they're going to know some shit's up if we don't do this. So Barbro gets fucking anxious, gets all antsy in his pantsy, and he says, burn down this fucking watchtower. We'll let them know we're serious. Because they're like, basically, Enri's just kind of like, oh, we just got out of the bath. We're naked. Hold on. Like, she's doing the village chief equivalent of that. Like, oh, well, it's just broken. She's like, oh, well, the gate's broken. Oh, it's real smelly and dirty in here. Your lordship shouldn't be in here when it's this. Let us clean up for a second. Hold on. And she's just buying time so, like I said, they can hide the ogres and the goblins. So then basically, Lupus is watching it and broadcasting it to Aynes. Mm-hmm. So Enri and Nifria decide that they're going to take the women and children out the back. And the able-bodied men, the goblins, and the ogres are going to be attacking at the front gate to be like a distraction so they can escape. And so their goal is like, hey, you're going to take the women and the children and all this stuff, and you're going to get out of here. and we will defend this shit and you guys do it and we'll take care of business. So basically it looks like it's going to work, but then
of course it doesn't.
It doesn't, because that's how war goes. And so it turns out they had sent a detachment.
Is it Sun Tzu or is it who says is that no plan survives contact with the enemy?
Yeah, I mean there's I don't know if it's exactly that, but there's a line in Sun Tzu somewhere where it says
Mike Tyson says, yeah, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face.
It's a true story. Then all plans go out the fucking window.
But to be fair, nobody has a plan to get punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
That's true. Except for Jake Paul.
No, he doesn't.
Because he thinks he does. Oh, he thinks he does, but it's going to go out the window as soon as he gets hit in the face. Yeah. So basically, she's like, fuck, this ain't going to work. We're pincered in. They're going to slaughter us. So she takes out the horn that Ainz gave her.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Future plug.
Mm-hmm.
We will be covering that.
What?
The fight.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a live stream of it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be on Chirping from the Pine because that's the sports podcast. So right. We'll probably do it on there.
Cool.
Because it's boxing. So, yeah, it's going to be sweet, man. I'm stoked. It's going to be fun as shit.
What's that line for Futurama? When they find out that robot wrestling is fake? He's like, goes, what? Robot wrestling is fake? Because I thought it was real, like wrestling. But it's scripted like boxing.
Yeah, that's funny. Anyways, so we get into... She blows the horn, and she thinks that it's just going to be a couple goblins,
like the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be like a squad like the first time. Turns out it's an entire 5,000 fucking member army with the highest rank
goblins and a fucking general.
And even Ainz is like,
the fuck?
Wow, I didn't think this thing could fucking do that.
Not even in the game could it do that.
Yeah. So... He's like, wow, that's a true power that no one has figured out. And so Inri unlocks. She had some conditions on her that unlocked that power somehow. So the Goblin army just fucks their shit up, just destroys Barbaro's army. And the best part is there was this thing when the Goblin assassins show up.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, yes, you are the leader. We are here to kill you. And he's like, oh, no, we're just leaving. And they're like, yeah, that's not an option anymore, buddy. And then, like, the mage comes in and fucking they kill everybody. Like, destroys the entire army. And then, that was when Lupus comes in. Because when he's, the prince is trying to beg for it.
Because, you know, they escape, remember? And when they think they escape, that's when she shows up.
Yeah. And then, he attempts to bargain with him and he's like, but I'm the crown prince. And then Lupus is just like, I don't give a fuck about this. You're not necessary for Lord Ainz's plan. So now I get to kill you. And she just fucking just crushes his skull or decapitates him or whatever it is.
Whatever
right?
She does.
Yeah. Then that brings us into episode 12, the massacre. And this is truly a massacre. So they're telling Ainz, essentially, the emperor's telling Ainz what?
No, I just remember what episode this is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a great episode.
He's telling them that they're going to have Lord Ainz cast the first stone in this battle, and they want to gauge his strength to reveal the true threat that he poses to the world, and then they're going to hopefully use that to let the Riesti's kingdom realize that they need an alliance with them, right, to defeat them. So the Baharuthian army has 60,000 well-trained knights, and the... Riesti's kingdom has 240,000, but it's mainly just regular average, you know, Joes, right? It's conscripts. Gazif and Raven are on the front lines, and Brain's there too.
I was like, for some reason, the kid's there.
Yeah, for some reason. So Gazif has been given the adamantite armor, the magic sword Razor Edge, and the gauntlets of endurance. And also the amulet of immortality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Ainz shows up to the front lines with his Death Knights.
Like, damn, dude, you got some weak ass.
He's like, man, this is some weak ass shit, bro. This is like some bitch tier shit. So then he casts a super tier spell. So
Jesus Christ, this spell.
Yeah, they order the thing to retreat. They order to retreat, right? Well, the spell is called La Shub Niggurath. Niggurath. And well, I mean, that's what it's called. And basically, it slaughters the entire left flank of the army. And then there's five...
It summons goetic demons.
Yeah, these five goetic demons called the Dark Young. Mm-hmm. And he basically tells them, he's like, wow, I've never been able to summon five of them before. And so
what about that scene? He's like, wow, I actually managed to summon five. Isn't this an amazing thing?
Yeah.
Clap, bitches. Clap. Yeah.
Clap for me, bitches.
Like, oh, yeah. And he's on his side. And
yeah.
They're fucking scared.
Yeah, they realize how fucking truly
pointless
it is to fight him. And that their army
And this was his army that was on his side.
Yeah.
And the other army, you can only imagine what's going through the minds of the armies that have to fight him.
Yeah. And so Gazif tries to fight back, and these Dark Young are just unstoppable. Aynes shows up on the battlefield and goes up to Gazif and says, listen,
I like you.
Yeah, you're a good dude. If you follow me and become my subordinate, I'll call these assholes off. But Gazif, being the man of honor, says, no dice. I challenge you to a duel. And so that's when we get into the final episode of the season, PvP.
Otherwise known as player versus player.
Right.
Which is funny because the last episode was PvE.
Right. Player versus everyone. Yeah. Or player versus environment. Yeah.
No, player versus enemy. That's when you fight. In video games term, PvE is when you fight against bots and bosses and whatever. PvP is when you fight against another character.
Like a human. Yeah. Another human person. So.
Because remember, this is still technically a video game.
Yeah, Aynes basically tells him, like, hey, man, I'm looking at all this shit you have. And are you sure you want to do this?
Because you don't stand a chance.
You're going to die. Like, there's no way you will win. So he says, well, look, watch this. And he takes the guy's sword and he cuts himself with it. And it cuts him, but then it just, like, immediately heals. And he's like, this is the best hope you have.
It was like that scene in Sword Art Online.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he's hunting down those player killer characters with that little girl?
Right.
And he's just standing on the bridge and they're all attacking him and he's just standing there letting them do it.
Yeah.
And then you see his health bar come down and boop. It just regenerates to full. Boop, 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 boop. He's good. That his health, he was saying that he's level 73 and they're like level 40. Because his battle regen heals faster than they can.
Yeah.
He goes, you can do this all you want. You're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's basically what this scene is too.
Right. Yeah. So basically, he says, all right, yeah, we're going to do this. All right, like, let's go. So the duel starts, and Climb, the kid, is told to be the start of the duel, and he's like, he uses this magical bell, so then he dings the bell. And as soon as he dings the bell, Aynes does this magic time stop, and it stops everything.
Time stop.
Time stop, or whatever.
We've all seen enough hentai to know where this is going.
Yeah. So then he basically just takes and casts instant death on Gazif.
Which I don't... He did it to preserve the body, right? Or some shit like that?
I guess, but they took the body, so...
That's the thing. He wanted his body, but then he agreed. But I'm saying he still did... The reason why... Wasn't there like a reason he said that he had for using that high-level spell?
I think it was just to show them
that there's no... But he had everyone frozen, so they couldn't see him do it.
Well, no one saw this happen. That I think that was the whole point, is to show them... To tell everyone back at the villa, or tell your king, basically.
Your greatest hero
died. I killed your greatest hero, and you didn't even see it. It happened so quickly, you didn't even see how it happened. And so I think that was the whole point.
And that was cool that out of respect, he still let him keep
all of his shit. Yeah. That was pretty dope.
He allowed him to return it to his kingdom.
Yeah. So he calls off the Dark Young out of respect for Gazif, but he tells Brain that if the kingdom refuses to surrender, then these will be sent to destroy the capital, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the emperor gets told about Aynes' power and is just like, oh, fucking goddamn it, we're all going to die. So everyone in the kingdom is terrified as a result of this, and they have no choice but to give up, as what they're saying. Brain and Climb are just aghast at Gazif's useless attempt to fight Aynes, and they're like, fuck, man. And Brain is just like, man, was I not cool enough to die with you, man? Like, fuck, dude. So they're going to set up their defenses, and Brain says, hey, I'm going to become better than Gazif. And Aynes shows up at Irantel in this large procession. Everyone's hiding out of fear. Some kid wants to throw a rock at Aynes. And Albedo rolls up and is going to fucking execute this kid. And then Momon comes out of nowhere, which obviously this is like a clone setup. Spell of whatever. Yeah, this is all part of the plan.
It probably was like Demiurge, or have you met Pandora's actor yet?
Yeah, I think so.
That was the one he created.
Yeah, because that's who it is. It's Pandora's actor. And so
what did you what did you think about the whole Nazi motif he was going with him
on the
Pandora's Axe?
Yeah, I don't know. That was a little weird.
Because he even did the
salute. Yeah, the salute. I don't know. That was a little weird. I don't know what they were trying to go for. I don't know.
I mean, they were kind of, you know.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyways, basically, Ainz is being, he gets enlisted to act as the city's representative and law enforcer, essentially.
In exchange, he won't kill people.
Yeah. And so this is all part of Demiurge's plan to find and kill any enemies that are around. Any of the humans that are going to rally under Momon will be
pacified,
essentially. This is like the honeypot scenario.
Because they're under his protection.
Yeah.
And he said, basically, I'll go by your rule as long as you rule me, which is, it's just him.
Yeah, basically. So. So then at the end of the episode, the Floor Guardians are pledging their loyalty again to Ainz as the Sorcerer King. And he says, this is the founding of the Sorcerer Kingdom, blah, 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 all that stuff, right? So the ending was a little bit kind of flat because it didn't leave us. I felt like I wanted a cliffhanger. I wanted something to give me something to go into season two. Like, give me, or season four, I mean. Like, give me something that I'm going to get an answer for. Give me a question right now that I'm going to ask and then an answer that's going to be given to me right there in the first episode, like, or something, right? It's kind of what I wanted. Now, I didn't get that, whatever. But the main problem that I have so far with this show in general is now it's three seasons in and it's basically like nothing can hurt him. Like, he's invincible. Nothing has done anything to him. And it almost makes it seem pointless because he's just more powerful than everyone. So I'm hopeful, without spoilers, that in season four, that's why hopefully season four is so good, is because maybe there is a legitimate threat to him.
Remember, when I say season four is best season, it's my personal opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're probably right. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah.
So
I will say season three, other than those fucking episodes where they actually had the wars, the defense of the village, both of them, and the actual final episodes.
Right.
Other than those, this episode was probably the least favorable one.
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. This definitely was the slowest. It kind of dragged a little bit for me, especially towards the beginning and middle.
But again, like I said, literally every plot point that happens in season three.
Yeah.
Is a setup for season, in my opinion, is a setup for season four.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll find out because I'm going to watch season four this week and then we'll be able to talk about it next week when we do the next episode. What?
I was looking at the time.
Oh, it's been an hour.
Yeah.
So which the next episode's Bone Daddy 4, Electric Boogaloo. So stay tuned for that. But did you have anything else to add?
Not off the top of my head.
All right. Well, wait, this is your show. You do the outro.
Well, I always do the intro. You do the
outro. Oh, okay. All right. Well, sounds fine to me. Anyways, well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate all the agents out there who tune in every week to hear the musings of a couple of anime nerds that are also kind of idiots. Well, at least I am.
We're definitely idiots. We literally have a podcast calling ourselves idiots.
Yeah, that's true. This is our Idiots of Anime. anyways.
Which was the second working title.
True. That's true. That was a backup in case this one was taken or something. but regardless, if you do like listening to us and you like any of the other topics that we have podcasts about, which we have many, do yourself a favor and go check them out. GameRageMagazine.com has everything. You can also look any of our shit up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Also, I forgot to plug it at the beginning, but I'll just plug it now. Whatever. May 15th.
It's always better to plug it at the end.
Yeah, whatever. That's true. Because the real fans listen till the end. May 15th. Millennial Frog drops three new albums. Poverty of Content, The Gentleman Known as Millennial Frog, and 30 Second Master. Three albums for your listening pleasure. And the best part about it is they're free. No money is involved. You can listen to them on Spotify. You can listen to them on Apple Music. Any app or streaming service that you have that has music, these albums are going to be on there. Just type in Millennial Frog and you'll find access to all of his albums. Do us a favor. We don't charge you any money to you know, our artist, Millennial Frog, is so willing and gracious to, he just wants his music to be heard. So we don't charge anyone to listen to it, but it does help us out as his publishing company and his record label, essentially, if you guys listen to it, because we get a little bit of scratch from, you know, the places who, for the streams. It's not much, but it still helps us out, helps us keep the lights on. So we're not asking for no money, but hey, if you could go stream these a couple thousand times, I would greatly appreciate it. So stay tuned for that. You can also listen to his other two albums. These will be his fifth total studio album. The first one was Comfy Tunes for the End Times. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was Based and Space Pilled. And pretty good stuff. Check it out. So from that, thanks for listening. Go to GameRageMagazine.com for more. And, agents, until next time, stay tuned for the next transmission.